Just drop the bow on the Blue Bloods.
Do it again. There it is.
Shut up and sit down.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back to the Inside Wisconsin Show. Although today, a slice of cheese. Trevor, John, and if you're a college basketball fan and don't know who that is, then you can just stop watching. I mean, that's Jack Golke. Duh. Jack, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chop it up today.
I don't even know where to start. Like 2 weeks ago, you run Kentucky out of the tournament. And then after the game last night, your one shining moment, you're the star of this whole thing. First, let's start this. How many times have you watched One Shining Moment?
Man, I probably not too many yet. Maybe like 3 or 4.
Okay, so I've watched it more than you. And then what was your phone like after that shot comes up? Like, I can't imagine you just weren't inundated.
After like last night, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a bunch of screenshots in my messages of just like, oh, this is you in One Shining Moment. I was like, yeah, I saw it.
And when you're watching like, you probably got a feeling, right? Like I gotta be in this thing. It's just this, honestly, half the time it's better than the game. Like, what goes through your mind when all of a sudden you pop up in One Shining Moment?
Yeah, I was like, I knew I was going to be in it. I just had no idea when or like what it was going to be. And when it said like the shooting star line and that was me, that was pretty cool. That was cool.
And you're a bow hunter? You're a bow hunter?
And you shot the star.
I guess so. I've never done it before, but I guess I'll have to give it a try.
That's it? We just organically, you decide to be Orion? Bang.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people do that celebration before, and I do it on the bench all the time. Anytime I'm on the bench and someone hits a three, I do it, but I've never done it in a game.
Well, that trended well for you.
Yeah.
So, all right, man, the first question I had was, are you bringing your talents back to Wisconsin? I hope, right? You're moving home. Are you going to come back to Wisconsin, or do you got bigger plans now?
I'll probably be in Wisconsin a little bit this summer, but I signed an agent recently, and I'm going to be moving down to Dallas for a couple months after school's over. So I'll be there working out and stuff like that. But I'm sure I'll be home a little bit and hopefully get to a Brewers game and maybe Packers training camp, all that good stuff.
Nice.
Who'd you sign with? Who are you going to get a workout with in Dallas?
The JCK Sports Group. The guy I signed with is actually from Milwaukee, so.
Okay. And then our hopes are what? To find an NBA right away. We're willing to go G League. We'll play overseas. I just want to play more ball.
Yeah. I just love basketball, man. It's blessed me with a lot of opportunities, and I'm just going to take advantage of whatever comes my way, whether it's NBA, G League, overseas. It doesn't really matter to me. I just want to keep playing and keep having that opportunity.
What's been the most mind-blowing moment of this whole thing? I mean, I can't imagine how your world literally blew up overnight.
Yeah. I mean, part of it has just been like after the game, we did the media with NCAA, and then like we hopped on Scott Van Pelt, and then like the next day doing like Pat McAfee and stuff like that is really cool. But honestly, like for me, like I've told my friends and stuff, like I'm just a normal guy. I'm the same person I was 2-3 weeks ago. So like,
no, you're not.
Like I'm in the airport flying back from Phoenix or wherever I am, and like constantly people asking to take pictures and stuff. And it's just like, it's just funny to me. Like it's random. Like I'm nothing. I don't know. It's just me.
Just dude, ride the wave. Cause when the grades come from this semester, you're going to be a normal dude and you don't want that.
That's right.
Like you can make 10 3-pointers in a game, which is astonishing. But you could make them against a lot of people. You made them against Kentucky, right? Like that's just a whole different level of making, you know, just walk me through that game and whether it's the zone or the vibe, or whatever you kids say that you had during those 40 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, going into the game, like that was probably like I try to be as consistent as possible, like before every game, kind of do the same type of things, the same mental preparation especially. But going into that game, I was just like particularly locked in. Like I didn't know like I'm gonna score this many points, but I knew like I'm gonna be ready to go today. Like it's gonna be a good day. And once I stepped out on the floor, I actually missed my first two shots, but I was shooting them like with that confidence and with that aggressiveness that I just knew like it was going to be a good night. And then once they started to fall, I was just not going to stop until they made me stop.
When the clock ran out.
Exactly.
Here's what I don't understand. Okay. And because I have not played basketball in organized situations enough to know this. Like, you made 10. Somewhere in there, if I'm in a huddle in Kentucky, I'm like, how about we find number three and punch the chest or get some, like, how is it you have 20, like 20 shots is ridiculous when you're on fire. Like, at some point you're like, are you guys just going to guard me? Or did you like, I don't mean like, there's not even there. Nobody can guard me. But right. Like at some point I'm like, how does a guy, the coach is in the Hall of Fame. He's an architect, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Like, how does he not make that adjustment that you're killing him?
Yeah. I mean, like there was definitely some things they could have done, but it's not like I wasn't just standing there shooting like catch and shoot threes. Sure. Like I was doing my teammates were screening really well, passing really well. And I was just sprinting in circles trying to get open. So they could have made one or two adjustments, but I think a lot of times it's easier said than done to stop that type of thing.
That's what Jay Billis said, right? During the 3-point shooting contest, like clearly Jack just needs to be moving and jumping sideways and then he'll make a bunch. How was that experience with the whole all-star setup, if you will, down in Phoenix? And oh yeah, you guys didn't miss in the hot shot challenge. Are you kidding me?
It was a blast, man. Met a bunch of cool people, made some new friends for sure, of some great athletes around the country. And just to be like, I mean, Grand Canyon had a great event on that Thursday night. And then to be able to play on the Final Four court, obviously we all wished that we could be in the real games, but I mean, not many people get to say that they've been able to play in like that football stadium venue on that official court. And that All-Star game was just really fun. We all said afterwards, it was an ugly game because we had like no preparation beforehand in terms of like shooting on that court in that huge stadium. Like the backdrops just look crazy. But it was a ton of fun. We had a good time and I'm really glad that I was able to participate.
Did the basket look like the Grand Canyon?
It was insane, man. Like we were talking about it and I was just like, I would hate if the most important game of my basketball career, like a Final Four game, was in a football stadium. That's insane.
Well, the other thing guys tell me, because I've been to a bunch of these, is you even when you have practice, there's nobody in there. So it looks one way. And then when you fill it, the depth perception becomes entirely different than what you did in that hour the next morning.
Yeah, I'm sure it's totally, because there weren't a ton of people there when we were playing in the All-Star game, but I'm sure once that thing gets packed, it's a whole different environment. I can only imagine.
Have you given thought, you ran Cal out of Kentucky. You literally chased the man out of Lexington to Arkansas.
Ah, man, I don't know about that. I mean,
I do.
I don't know. I think he just saw a great opportunity at Arkansas. A lot of donor money, and that's how NIL goes these days. And maybe it was just time to move on. But I'm glad to play a small part in it.
You chased him into an $8 million a year job. You chased him out of one that was paying like $9.5 million, but still, he's out ahead in my book. Like, I think he's doing okay.
Yeah. But
if you're not on the Calipari Christmas card list, then something's wrong.
It's always fun. I think it's funny when both now the Arkansas fans and the Kentucky fans love me.
Well, Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky AD, loves you. You saved him $33 million. So they were going to
take it. Yeah, exactly. There we go. I should get a slice of that.
There's a slice of cheese, right? That's a brick right there, Trevor Thomas.
How was the NIL frenzy, man? Like, that had to have happened overnight, right?
It was absolutely overnight. After the game, I had so many texts, DMs, emails, all that stuff. I'm sure you guys have seen the story, how I said my friends kind of handled it for me. So it I was literally prepping for NC State and my friends were handling my emails and they were just like, okay, all you got to do, like, cause I didn't want to worry about that stuff when I got a big game coming up. So they just texted me and they're like, okay, you got this deal with TurboTax. You need to shoot this video and then send it to us. We'll handle the rest. So I just did the video, send it to them, took care of it. And then obviously was able to put some more time into it once the next week came around. But yeah, it's been crazy, but really cool to get these type of opportunities and stuff like that. It's been a blessing for sure.
Yeah. Hand that into your MBA teachers. Oh, by the way, here, making bank right here. This is what that needs to be. It gets lost a little bit amidst the Kentucky flurry. NC State ends up in the Final Four, and you had those guys, man. Like that game was tight.
Yeah, it. I was actually just texting with my coach, one of my coaches, this morning, and we were talking about how after we lost to NC State, honestly, like our locker room wasn't. Like, we were upset, but it wasn't that bad because we were kind of like, man, we gave it 100%. Like, obviously, we wish we would have made a couple more shots here and there, but, like, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have changed anything. We gave it everything we had. But then the more games we watched and, like, kind of just reflecting on it now, it's like, man, like, we really had a chance to make a real run if we would have beaten NC State. But, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't in the cards for us.
You got really hot at the end of the season, Jack. I'm the public address announcer for UWGB men's basketball. So we've met, even though we've never met. let's be honest, man, though. Like it wasn't a bad season for you, but it wasn't like the end of the season for you. So what changed as the year went on? Because you really came on in the Horizon League tournament.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, like, I've always been kind of a streaky player, and the style that I play, like, confidence is just of utmost importance. And I think it definitely took me a bit of an adjustment period going from D2 to D1. And like, I always thought I belonged and all that good stuff, but just changing, adjusting to the style and to the pace of the game and all that stuff took me a while. And then Coach Campy kind of pulled me aside before we played UWM. And I think that was like late January. It was right after the Green Bay game. At Green Bay, and mm-hmm. And he was just like, if this team's going to win a championship, like, you need to step up. If you don't, like, you're going to cost this team a championship. So that really like hit me. I was like, okay, I gotta lock in, I gotta go forward here. And ever since that Milwaukee game, I think it was like 15 games the rest of the season, so a little less than half of the season, then I was just locked in and had a much better end to the season than I did start to the season.
Trev's jealous because you guys beat Milwaukee three times, and that is the bane right now of the Phoenix existence. Tell me about Coach Campy, because, like, you look at him, you're like, that. There's no way that guy's been there 40 years.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
But, like, and he just he's never gone anywhere else. You know, he beats people he shouldn't along the way, I don't know, he's an institution. He's one of those examples of there are great college basketball coaches everywhere mm-hmm. that aren't, we joke about Cal, but, you know, makes those $1 million. But I don't know that Cal or any guy knows X's nose like your guy and works as hard in that program to find people. Like, he took a dude. He's like, here's the transfer portal. You know what? I'll take the kid from Hillsdale. and make winner instead of like, oh, I'll take the guy that UCLA doesn't want. Right. Like, yeah. I just want to know more about him because I find him fascinating.
No, he's a tremendous coach. He has an interesting style, but he does a great job of it where he definitely gets on you and especially with certain guys, like, he knows what buttons to push. Like I was saying with that story with me, like, he wasn't like threatening me, but he was saying like, this is on me type of thing. And one of his lines that he always says is, coaches get way too much credit, but they also get way too much blame. So he kind of empowers the players to where, like, he's going to give you all the tools, X's and O's wise, and he's going to teach you everything he possibly can. But at the end of the day, like, he instills that confidence in you that you're the one that needs to go out there and make the plays. Like, players make plays. It's going to come down to you guys. So he just believes in us, and he does a really good job of making sure we know he cares about us as young men. And because obviously that's part of the whole thing is we're I mean, I'm a little older, but some of the guys on the team younger, like, growing up, learning how to play basketball and how to do other things. And when someone actually cares for you and then they get on you in a basketball situation, it's a lot easier to handle than someone who you think just sees you as a number. So he does a really good job of that. And I think that's part of the reason why he's been here for so long.
I've been sitting. How are the rims at the Rush Center, by the way? How are the rims at the Rush Center?
We actually didn't play at the Rush Center. We played at the Crest Center.
Yeah.
How come you played that, Trevor? What the hell's going on there?
That was a good crowd that day.
Yeah, it was. Well, that was for in the moment. That was for first place. JA, that probably happened because there was a concert at the Rush Center or a Gamblers hockey game. That happens. It's
who's the number one tenant there? Just let's step aside, Jack. I got to sort this out. Who's the number one tenant at the Rush Center? I thought they built it for the Phoenix program.
I think it's the Gamblers hockey team. That's the number one tenant. And then after that, it's whatever big concert wants to come in there. And then it's Phoenix basketball.
Right.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Rucker.
I only have a few more on my list. I just wanted to know how loud was that conversation? You got a few? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been sitting courtside with Coach Campy now for 6 years. I've been the announcer for six seasons. And the fella's loud.
He is.
Like when you have conversations, I would assume you can't get a word in edgewise. It's just listening loudly.
No, yeah, for sure. There's times where he always got on our big guy, Chris Conway, and that's the guy I always remember, like, things that Campy would say to him. It's like, wow, he's just going after him in these huddles.
You would think the veins are going to pop out of his forehead. All right, Jay, this is the last one for me, and then I'm sure you got just a few more.
Oh, I've got
you mentioned you. I'll just sit back and listen.
Yep.
You mentioned McAfee, right? So you have this game against Kentucky. And somebody scours your Twitter and finds this picture of you standing by a Pewaukee sign with your shirt on and boxing gloves on. And I saw McAfee tweet that. And my first thought was, Jack is screwed because his world just blew up. And it's because of that picture. And, oh, yeah, I mean, your play, obviously. But
yeah, that was one of the funniest parts of the whole thing for me was, like, after I didn't open my phone for a while after the game because there was too much going on. I didn't even want to look at it. But once I finally did, seeing like just my old tweets from when I was like 16 years old popping up, it's like I just obviously totally forgot anything that I tweeted. And thankfully, there wasn't anything bad out there because you always see stuff like that happening. But yeah, that was hilarious of just that tweet popping up. And there was a couple others that just made no sense that everyone was just commenting on and stuff like that. So I was just like, I mean, if the internet's going to run with it, I guess they'll go for it.
Amazing how it really does all live forever, right?
Yeah.
He's just like, good Lord. By the way, how was my boy, the Von Schnitz? How was SVP?
It was awesome, man. It was really cool. Obviously someone whose show I always used to watch. So just to be able to be on there was awesome.
Yeah, he's great. So here are a few that I have listed that I'm just curious about. You were 4 of 8 this season in twos. Do you even go through the layup line?
I go through the layup line, but I don't usually shoot any layups. I would just shoot threes.
Okay, yeah. When was the last time you dunked?
I actually dunked like at least once a practice, probably. But like,
I mean, in a game.
Oh. I've never dunked in a game in my college career.
Oh, that is outstanding.
I always was trying to leak out and get one, but I always just ended up shooting a three.
correct me if I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, we'll just cut it out. Hasn't Oakland before had a guy like that that was a specialist that just shot threes? I forget his name, but it was
Max Hooper shot.
Yeah.
I want to say 257 threes and zero twos.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. So this is Campy. Like he knows that that's a position, yes. Right? Like that's a thing. It's not like
that's guard. Yeah, that's a spot that he always recruits for.
So how do he find you? Because you're at Hillsdale. I get it. You're like not too far, right, over at Hillsdale.
Yeah.
But how do you end up there in the first place?
Yeah. So it's a couple like 2 hours away, in like southern Michigan. But my coach at Hillsdale, I left Hillsdale on great terms. Like they don't have graduate programs there. So I was basically just taking another year to go to grad mm-hmm. school. And my coach at Hillsdale knows Coach Campy relatively well. So when I told my coach, like, hey coach, I'm going to transfer. I want to see what I can do for my last grad year. He told me, he's like, yeah, I already called Coach Campy about you. So I was like, oh, okay. So I pretty much got on the phone with Campy right after that. And then some of the assistants as well. And he was just like, I watched all your film. Like, this would be a perfect fit. Like, you should come on a visit as soon as possible. So then, yeah, I just went on a visit. Everything seemed to work pretty well. I didn't end up visiting any other schools. I talked to a couple other schools, but Oakland was just the right fit for me. And I'm glad I made that choice.
So most guys, they want to show, look, I am a well-rounded player. I can do this. And he goes, this is your spot. But you're like, coach, I want to be able to create, take guys off the dribble. Like, how much is that that you like, okay, this is my job. Even if I can do these other things, how hard is that to kind of set that aside and go, I'll do this?
Yeah, it's interesting because at Hillsdale, I was a much more well-rounded player. Like I was a three-point shooter, obviously, but I would do other things. I would come off ball screens or shoot mid ranges, whatever the case may be. But I just really wanted to win this year, and I knew that I could be successful in that role that he has for guys. So seeing like the other personnel on our team, I realized like, hey, this is, if I can excel at this role, like I have other teammates that are going to do a tremendous job in their roles. So I just thought it was the best recipe for success.
364 threes, 8 twos. Did you get yelled at any of the 8 twos? Like, what are you doing?
One or two of them I can remember. One of them I shot like a mid-range jumper, and he was just like, why would you not just like shoot a sidestep three?
Listen, I've argued with Steve Levy before. Like, I don't need to get into analytics. The three-pointer is worth 50% more.
Yeah.
Right? Like you go 10 of 20, that means somebody's going to shoot 75% from two. That just doesn't happen. In a 3-point contest, do I want you or Caitlin Clark?
So if we're shooting straight off the rack, you don't want me. I'm not good off the rack. But okay. if we're doing our own little thing that we make up, I'm going to beat her.
All right. Michigan State, you were 1 for 10. What the hell happened there?
That's just the life of a shooter, man. Sometimes you're 1 for 10, sometimes you're 10 for 20.
All right. Where did this thing come from? When you just decided, now I'm just making them and I'm just firing at people.
This thing?
Yeah, when you just started, you just decided to drop the bow on it. Just drop the bow on the blue bloods.
Do it again. There it is.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I don't know. I was just so like locked into the game, and so like that might be the most I've just ever been in the moment. You know what I mean? And I was, I don't know. It just came to me and I did it. I have no explanation for it.
Trev, take that wide shot again. I think you have you are totally a dude in your own apartment. Yeah. Look at that. that is such a guy's apartment. Look at that. That is fantastic. Where's the Xbox?
It's up there somewhere. I don't really play though.
Do you know? I don't know if Trevor knows or not. Who's the most famous Hillsdale College athlete?
Ooh.
Besides you now. Trevi played for the Packers.
Oh, are we saying Jared Veld here?
No, way more famous than that.
Played for the Packers.
You
can't. He does this crap to me all the time. I have no idea.
Kicker Chester Markle went to Hillsdale and was drafted in the second round by Dan Devine. How you people don't know this, I don't know.
There's no way he just pulled that out.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Listen, if you'd have seen him score on the overtime block field goal, you'd know who he was. Okay, I have a couple more, and then we'll let you go. First off, how are you related to the Watt brothers?
So they went to the same high school I went to.
Right, but you're not part of the family?
Not part of the family, unfortunately. Okay.
I just assumed everybody was related to a Watt brother. I'm going to make that note for future guests from Pewaukee. They're not all related. Like, you're not so you've never been in their backyard and had a Subway?
No, I mean, I've met J.J. Watt once or twice, but I've never been in their backyard.
All right. And now I'm going to test and see if the media guide lies about you. What's your favorite road trip snack?
Pineapple.
Where do you get that? Like, you can't go to – there's nowhere in the Horizon League to get fresh pineapple.
I pack like a cooler full of fruit on the road. I love it.
All right. Favorite movie?
Interstellar.
What is that movie about? I've never seen it. It's like
it's Matthew McConaughey, a space movie. You should watch it. It's good.
All right. Favorite basketball player?
Paul Pierce.
Yeah, he went to KU. You should rethink that. He's terrible. I feel like this might have changed. Best basketball memory?
It's a tie. It's got to be a tie now. Obviously this year, but what I have down there, going to the Elite Eight in my junior year at Hillsdale, that was the first time I truly won a tournament or I won something. So that'll always be special to me.
Okay. So I don't know. We're going to put it down for a tie. and then the actor who would play you in a movie.
Well, now I've heard rest in peace, Matthew Perry, a bunch of times. So maybe I need to change that.
Well, no, because he can't. Like, Bradley Cooper at least could. But I don't know.
I would be thrilled if Bradley Cooper played me in a movie.
Yeah, you'd have all the ladies. I don't think I have anything else, man. That's just an unbelievable deal. And I came home last night because I was working SportsCenter after the game. And so you're just, you know, it's chaos after it finishes. And so I watch One Shining Moment because it's amazing. And I'm like, okay, he's going to be here somewhere. But then you get like the prime spot.
Yeah.
Is
that was cool. It was really cool. Yeah.
Were you running for your life before you were a shooting star? Because that's what the lyric says.
I guess you could say that.
In all those years, no one knows how hard you worked. And now it shows. How hard did you work in all those years?
Pretty hard, man. I'm not going to lie to you. Pretty hard.
How many shots you get up a day?
Like 700 to 1,000 probably.
A day?
Yeah.
Look at Trevor.
I'm not working that hard. Wow.
Yeah, he didn't do anything like that. So, well, listen, it's an unbelievable special time to be a part of the tournament. And then to literally have a moment like that is great. And I've told Trevor, if you ever go back and the Final Four, like all the hotels during that week, there's just one channel where all they show is One Shining Moments from through the years.
That's
so like, yeah. So like someday you're going to be like, here's Jordan. And then you're going to come on right after him, or you're going to like, it's just going to be remarkable. Crazy. And it's something to hold on to. And it's everybody should have those literally 15 minutes. And in your case, it's 40 and beyond, but it's well-deserved. And you know, like I said, I got goosebumps watching it last night, and that's for people I don't even know that weren't even coming on the show. Fantastic for you. Congratulations and good luck moving forward, whether it's in the NBA or the G League or you're burying threes in Turkey somewhere. It'll all be great.
Exactly.
Just make sure your taxes are done by April 15th. I'm not sure if you're aware, but
no, you're right. You're right. I got to get
coming
on
up quick. And oh, by the way, the next time you have a meal at the Pinecone in Crick, it's on me. That's home for me. That's where I'm from.
I appreciate that. That's big time. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on. This was one of the most fun interviews I've done. So I appreciate it.
Shut up and sit down.